How you doing, everyone? Russ Salzberg here once again, and I want you all to listen up and get a load of this. Baseball's trading deadline has come and gone. So from here on out, what you see is what you're going to get. Who's looking good? Who's not? Like I said, listen up because you're really going to want to get a load of this. All right, like I said, the trading deadline has passed, so here we are. Into August, we got 2 months left in the regular baseball season. Barring some waiver kind of movers and maneuvers, whatever, as I said, the teams are constructed as it is. So what you see is what you're going to get. Let me first address the Yankees, because I think, you know, today is a baseball show, you know, in light of everything that's gone on. And again, depending when you're going to hear this, I'm talking about right after the trading deadline. And I think the Yankees, I wasn't sure what they were going to do, but you've heard me here pretty much leading up to the trading deadline saying they need starting pitching. They need starting pitching. They need starting pitching. They need starting pitching. Yes, I sounded like a broken record. And you know what? They went out and got themselves starting pitching. I think the Yankees did tremendous. They acquired J.A. Happ. They acquired Lance Lynn. They acquired Zach Britton, you know, to enhance an already very, very strong bullpen. I got to tell you, they did extremely well. Extremely well. You know, with the injury to Aaron Judge, with the chip in the wrist, and with Gary Sanchez, with the groin, that's two big bats out of the lineup, and I think they're going to be out pretty much for most of, most of August is what I'm thinking. But the Yankees have enough firepower to withstand those type of losses. They needed pitching. They went out. Yeah, they got Luke Voit, you know, but they went out and got pitching. I'll say it over and over again, because pitching is going to win in the playoffs. I'm telling you right now, you can talk about, you know, the muscles of the Yankees and the high-powered, high-octane offense, never losing Red Sox. Pitching in the end is going to win. And I think the Yankees did marvelous. I mean, kudos to Cashman. Brian Cashman did extremely well, and I wasn't sure he was going to pull the trigger. Quite frankly, if I want to nickel and dime the acquisition of Happ, and I'm not going to, but if anybody wants to be out there, I would have really got excited had they gotten Chris Archer from the Rays instead of the Pittsburgh Pirates getting Archer. I'm a big Archer fan. But that's not to say I'm not a J.A. Happ fan. So I just think the Yankees did tremendous. Now, is there a fly in the ointment? Well, there's always a little bit of a fly in the ointment buzzing around. You still got to worry about winning the division, okay? As I'm speaking to you today, and again, I don't know when you're going to hear this, when you're going to be listening to it at your leisure, but as I'm talking to you today, the Yankees are 5 games behind the division-leading Red Sox. But they're only 3 in the loss column, okay? They're only 3 in the loss column. You know, with 4 big games coming up in Fenway this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So, you know, the division is certainly not locked up. It is not locked up. But you got to be fearful of living dangerously. And what I mean by living dangerously is that one game gunfight. That one game shootout. Of course, I'm talking about the wild card. I mean, the Yankees have to worry about it. The Red Sox have to worry about it. Everybody's got to worry about it. There is, and I'm not one of those people to criticize. I've said this before. don't give me this baloney about, well, it's not fair because they might have the two best records in baseball and one of them has got to play with a wild card. You know what? Shit goes in cycles, okay? Sometimes you can have this division being good. Sometimes you can have another division being good. That's just the way it goes. You got to live by that. I'm sorry. You know, that's just it. I think the wild card idea is a tremendous idea. I think it allows a second place team to get in, and you got to win that extra game. You got to win that 163rd game. The Yankees have strengthened themselves with another starting pitcher. Now, my concerns for the Yankees it's one thing. My concern for the Yankees is this, small ball. You've heard me say it before. I will say it again. If you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And if you're going to live solely by power, it's going to bite you in the ass. I don't care how good you are. I do not care how good, how big muscles, and you give me Stanton and the Judges and the Torreses and the Birds and the DDs. Listen, they're very imposing, and Sanchez, very, very imposing. I mean, any GM or manager would drool over having those players on the team. I would. They're a very, very exciting team to watch. But when you get down to nickel and diamond, and when I say nickel and diamond, I'm talking about the postseason, and when you're facing very good pitching, you got to scratch for runs. You got to scratch for runs. And when you have to scratch for runs, you got to be able to play small ball. I can't recall, because it was a few weeks ago, the Yankees had one small ball game. They won a game, and forgive me, it completely, you know, I can't recall. I think it was a walk, maybe a wild pitch, a sacrifice and another sacrifice, or a sacrifice and a single. But the bottom line is you got to be able to play small ball, and they do not play small ball. And that concerns me. Now, they're not the only team. I mean, that's what's happened to Major League Baseball, and quite frankly, I don't like it. Granted, you know, all rise, the judge is here, and it's exciting, and watching all these home runs. I'm also watching a ton of strikeouts. So from a Yankee perspective, they did marvelous. I really was concerned about them not getting a starting pitcher. Not only did they get one, they got two. Lance Lynn fits in as well as Hap. So there is strength there. He can also help out in long relief if there's a problem. I mean, they did very well, and they strengthened a bullpen with Britton. And, you know, it's very imposing to look at that. Again, if you got to scratch for a run, you got to scratch for a run. You know what? Suppose you're into that 162nd game in a season, and the division is on the line. And you're in a 1-0 or a 2-1 game, you know, and the pitching is dominating. You got to be able to scratch. Remember something. As much as Stanton and Judge hit home runs and Sanchez and all of them, they all strike out a shitload of times. A ton of times. You got to be able to scratch. To me, the only guy that scratches, when I say scratches, meaning playing small ball, is like Gardner. Guardy plays small ball. You got to be able to do that stuff. I mean, to me, bunting and hitting behind runners and moving runners over, it's like a thing of the past. People don't do it any longer. I've also said this before. If I was a major league manager, with the shifting and everything that goes on, if I was a major league manager today, I would make it incumbent upon all my players. Don't worry about hitting the damn ball over the fence in BP, all right? Do me a favor. Worry about hitting to the opposite field. I want you to hit X amount of balls to the opposite field. I want you to be able to punch it to right field. I want you to be able to, if you're a lefty hitter, I want you to be able to stroke it to left field. I want you to be able to take advantage of the shift. I want you to make the fielders worried about you going the other way. Nobody does that any longer. You know, and then to me, that falls into the small ball category as well. Nobody does that any longer. And it's a problem. So, you know, having said that, you know, the Yankees, as I said, as we speak at this very moment, the way when I'm talking to you now, they are 5 games behind, but only 3 in the loss column. You can't make up losses, but you can make up wins. So it's only 3 in the loss column. And that's what I have to look at. But you have to go ahead and be able to, you know, in a close game, you got to be able to go itsy bitsy. You got to be able to nickel and dime and scratch. You know, so, I mean, yeah, I think everybody has their shortcomings when it comes to doing that. But I think, and, you know, I think Boston's the same way. Mind you, Boston has, to me, more small ball players than the Yankees do. I think the Yankees, it's really, you know, their supply and demand is based upon power. But that said, Yankees did very well. So I am very, very pleased with what the Yankees did in acquiring, you know, these guys at the trading deadline. I think Happ, Britton, Lynn, very imposing. Very imposing. You know, pitching was a problem, and I think they got that problem rectified. Now, let's go to your Mets, okay? First of all, let me say this. Some of the best deals you make are sometimes the ones that you don't make. And some people might want to argue this, and they've already argued with me about it on Twitter and Facebook. Well, but Russ, what about this and what about that? So what if you have pitching, everything else sucks? You build with pitching, okay? I was thrilled that they did not go out and trade Zach Wheeler. Thrilled! I never thought that they were going to trade DeGrom or Syndergaard. Wheeler was the guy everybody was talking about. So as thrilled as I was, what the hell did the Mets do the next night? Not the next night, the very same night of the trading deadline. They lose by the score of 25-4 to the Washington Nationals. But, you know, those blowouts happen, okay? It was an ugly mark in already an ugly season. But, you know, whether you want to believe it or not, in the Mets' minds, they want to try and contend next year for a playoff spot. Some of you might think the Mets are nuts. If you're looking at their starting lineup today, it'd be hard to argue with that there are a few screws loose. But their pitching is intact. You can get other players a lot easier than you can get pitching. Remember something, whether you like it or not, whether you're a Mets diehard or not, the truth of the matter is this, they've been snake bit for 2 years by the injury bug. Okay, and this, I'm not sitting here wearing my Mets underwear, okay? But if we're going to be honest, this team went to the World Series. What was it? In 2015, they went back to the playoffs in 2016. Okay. Then they got bit on the ass with the injury bug. I mean, let's look. Cespedes has been non-existent. Bruce has been non-existent. You got Frazier, who they acquired, has been hurt. Guys like Lagares, who is a very good player off the bench, has been out. Conforto was coming off the shoulder situation, so he had a late start. Again, I'm not making excuses. Injury is part of the game, but they've had the injuries. If you put those guys back in, you know, it's too easy to kill the Wilpons. It's just too easy to do that. Nobody was killing them 3 years ago. No, nobody. Nobody was killing him 3 years ago. Nobody was killing him when Matt Harvey was Matt Harvey. Then everything seemed to go to the shithouse. So I believe that they did the right thing in not trading either of their starting pitchers because they could not get equal value, not for any one of them. And already in a season that sucks, what would have sucked worse is if they got hoodwinked into making a bad deal. And because they felt the pressure of the fans and the media saying, what the hell are they doing? They could have been forced to make a deal. And that is the worst thing you can do. That's when an organization has to show what kind of insides they have and have to have the guts to stand tall and not make a bad move, not make a bad season worse by making a bad move. You know, I've heard people complain, well, geez, Russ, you know, look, I mean, that's all they could get. The Mets, that's all they could get for Mia, or that's all they can get for Asdrubal Cabrera. What the hell did you think they could get for those guys? First of all, people, when you're talking about the type of prospects, you know, got 17th pick or something, a 17th high-rated guy in the A's organization, I don't even know the guy's name now. Really, if you people thought that Familia, because I've heard this, look what the Yankees were able to get for Andrew Miller a couple of years ago, and look what the Yankees were able to get for Aroldis Chapman. You got Gleyber Torres, you got Clint Frazier. Well, let me tell you something, folks. If you're putting Familia in the class of Andrew Miller and Aroldis Chapman, you're nuts. In no way, shape, or form does he measure up. In no way, shape, or form. Not even close. You know, people love, I love this trading game. It's like you play with Monopoly money. When fans are always in every sport, it's not just in baseball. It could be in football, it could be hockey, it could be basketball, football less because you don't see that many trades in football. But fans always, they skew their trade talk geared to what's going to be good for them, not what's going to be good for the team that they're trading with. It doesn't work that way. Wake up, folks. It just doesn't work that way. I was so worried that Wheeler was going to go because they felt the pressure of having to make a deal. I will not argue with any one of you fans. This season has been awful. It's been gut-wrenching. To sit home and watch has been sickening. God forbid if you had season tickets and you go into that every day. Ay, 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 ay. But shit happens. Now, how do you correct the ship? I mean, I don't know. I'm not convinced. I don't know who the GM for the Mets is going to be next year. I don't know. Maybe it's going to be John Rico. And if it is, so be it. If they're going to bring in somebody new, so be that too. Right? That's the other thing. If you're going to pull a blockbuster trade, do you want to pull that and not have your GM, not have your new GM involved, if there is going to be a new GM? So that's a big question right now. I don't know what the Mets are going to do about the GM situation. I really, really don't. But I do think in what has been a horrible season, they made the wise choice keeping the pitching intact. I really do. You know, a few weeks back, I was on with my buddies Bernie and Sid in the morning, and you know, I was talking about it, and you know, I was talking with Sid in particular, and I said, I don't want Wheeler to go, but it sounds like Wheeler's going to go, and I felt great because about an hour after I was on, they had Doc Gooden come on, and Doc agreed with me. I felt great because Doc said, you got to start with the pitching, and they got starting pitching.
You know, what the hell's good is trading for prospects if you're giving up your pitching? So then you got some prospects and you don't have any pitching. And pitching is harder to replace. Pitching is harder to replace. Okay? So as far as I'm concerned, I think the Mets, what has been an awful season, they could have compounded an awful season by trading one of their starting pitchers. They didn't do so. So I think they did the right thing by that. Okay? They did. And I will leave it at that. Now, another thing, I was talking to you people about, you know, the wild card and the Yankees and the Red Sox. And we, you know, because it is, of course, it is New York, we're preoccupied with that, you know, because it's not just the Yankees. It's the Yankees and the Red Sox, arguably the greatest rivalry in all of sports. And the oldest, Yankees, Red Sox, you know, and we're going to get it again. You know, as of this discussion, they have the two best records in Major League Baseball. But while we're all excited about this race and the two best records in Major League Baseball with the Houston Astros right there, let me tell you something. And listen, the Houston Astros, they're in a pretty good race there because, you know, as of me talking right now, they're 68-41 with the Seattle Mariners 63-44, four games behind, three in a loss column. So you got some pennant races and the Oakland A's are just five out. But how about we do this? How about we go over and take a look? People don't talk about this on an everyday basis, and they should. Have you people taken a look? If you're not preoccupied with just with your own local teams or what, have you taken a look at the races in the National League? It's insane how good these races are. As of this moment that I'm speaking to you, the Phillies have a half game lead over the Braves. Okay? A half game lead. The Washington Nationals, who have had a disastrous season, are just 5.5 back. That's three teams within 5.5 of each other. All right? That's in the National League East. Now, let's now go to the National League Central. Want to talk about a race? The Cubbies, Chicago, and Milwaukee. They're virtually tied for first place, with the Pirates just six games back. And the Pirates can certainly make a run, you know, if nothing else, maybe for a wild card, because the Pirates, listen, I mentioned this earlier on, Pirates acquiring Chris Archer from the Rays prior to the deadline was a great move by them. Great, great move. So think about that. You got in a Central, National League Central, you have two teams tied for first. In the National League East, you have a half-game situation there. And now we go to the National League West. Arizona in first place by a half a game over the Rockies and the Dodgers. Three teams within a half a game of one another. Three teams with the Giants. Just five games back of the top. I mean, that is a tremendous, those are tremendous baseball races. Tremendous. And we're not even talking about the wild card races. Think about that. You know, for all those baseball purists who, you know, don't like the wild card, give me a break. You know, when I started watching baseball back in the day, there were eight teams in each league, okay? Times have changed. What is it, 30? 32, whatever the hell it is? You better have, if you don't have a wild card, there would be no interest for a lot of people. But think about those races in the National League. I think that's just, my goodness, Commissioner Rob Manfred's got to be happy about that. You're guaranteed, as far as I'm concerned, you're guaranteed to have this going down to the wire in the National League. Down to the wire. Both for wild card and divisions. Down to the wire. And then if you move back to the American League, the only race which is not a race is the Central. In what has been a lousy division for them, Cleveland, you know, has a 9-game lead over the Twins. Now, I'll tell you something else, folks. Everybody's talking about the American League, about just three teams, the Yanks, the Red Sox, and the Astros. I firmly believe to win the American League championship, it's got to go through the home of the defending champs, Houston, the Astros. But don't disregard Cleveland, okay? You know, Bill Parcells used to say something to me all the time about the playoffs. The goal was always the same thing every year. You got to, Bill used to say, you got to get into the tournament. You got to get into the tournament. And once you're in, anything goes. And there is no better proof of that than your wild card Giants, who won their last two Super Bowls, getting in that way. You just got to get in. So, Cleveland is going to get in. Don't disregard Cleveland because they have pitching as well. Do not disregard Cleveland. So you got, I mean, the way it shapes up these last 2 months, it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And it's going down to the wire. The Yankees, Red Sox, you don't know what the hell's going to be there. You don't know what the hell's going to be, Seattle is, on the heels of the Astros. And you got the wild card races. Oakland is right behind Seattle. So there's going to be a lot of jockeying going on. Red Sox, Yankees vying for division. The team that doesn't get the division is going to get a wild card unless there's the most monumental collapse of all collapses. And then in the West, you got Houston with the, it's a 4-game lead. Again, 3 over in the loss column over the Seattle. And Oakland right behind Seattle by a game. I mean, races are going to be great. Just terrific. So I think from a baseball fan's perspective, if you're not a local fan, there's still going to be plenty of fun to watch because I think these are going to be some real, real exciting races. I think September, these games are super meaningful from here on in. Because one thing, if you're the Yankees, you can't let Boston get a big lead. That you got to guard against. They're going to get into the playoffs anyway, but you can't take that for granted because crazier things have happened. Crazier things have happened. All right, a couple of things that I want to touch on, which, quite frankly, left me scratching my head. Let me say this, because I was just talking about the Houston Astros. The Houston Astros just acquired relief pitcher Roberto Osuna from the Blue Jays. Now, Osuna is coming off a 75-game suspension for domestic violence. Let me make this perfectly clear, folks, so there can be no ifs, ands, or buts. Domestic violence in the mind of Russ Salzburg is not acceptable under any circumstance whatsoever. Nothing. No excuse. Nothing makes it acceptable. Okay? Let's make that clear out of the gate. But I've been reading and watching, in particular guys from ESPN who I really like, Tim Kurkjian and Buster Olney, both of them, they do great work. But there's been a lot of criticism. Well, Houston, you know, they got to live with this. That's kind of, you know, they went out and they acquired a guy who is a domestic violence, you know, call him abuser, whatever the case, in Osuna. I get the criticism. Okay? But he did serve his 75 games. Listen, I remember criticism of Aroldis Chapman when the Yankees acquired him. You remember the Aroldis Chapman, the guy that all Yankee fans love? All Yankee fans adore. All Yankee fans get all hot and bothered when they watch him throw, you know, 100 plus miles per hour and he comes in. You know, that Aroldis Chapman was the guy who choked his girlfriend, allegedly, and shot off like eight shots in his garage. And then you had Jose Reyes for the Mets being reacquired by the Mets. He had a domestic violence issue. I don't remember those guys getting roasted and toasted the way I heard Osuna getting roasted and toasted. I'm not sticking up for Osuna. My point being, let's just be fair about it. And while there was criticism, there was not the criticism that I'm hearing now about Osuna. And at some point, folks, again, I am not a jurist, okay? I don't sit on the bench. I'm not a judge. But this is the way our society is. If somebody serves their time and pays their penalty, our society allows them to come back. I could give a shit about Roberto Osuna or the Houston Astros or the Toronto Blue Jays. Couldn't care less. But when I heard the tirade, I'm saying, and I remember vividly, you know, Chapman being acquired. There was not the uproar that I was hearing about this guy. You know, I've said this all along. You can, short of being an axe murderer, as long as you help your team win, everything is lovey-dovey. You can be a drunk, you can be a drug addict. Short of being an axe murderer and, God forbid, a pedophile, you can get away with anything. It's crazy. But that's the way society is. You know, if you got a drug problem and you're a frontline player, then you're going to get all the stories about redemption and getting a second chance, and it's wonderful to come back and picking yourself up. And if you're a marginal player, get this piece of shit off the team. We don't need him. And it's not just sports. It's the corporate world. It could be the TV world. It could be the radio world. It doesn't matter. That is the way life is. Life is not fair. That's all I can say. You know, that's the best way I view it. You know, it's just not fair at times. And then there's one other issue that kind of jumped off the page at me. Was it yesterday or 2 days ago? Our buddy, Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod, A-Rod, A-Hole, however you want to view it. A-Rod has the balls, the nuts, to throw it out that, like, Hugh Darvish is a distraction. You know, Hugh Darvish has been a distraction with the Cubs because he's been hurt and he hasn't been around, or he's around in the dugout. I mean, of all people to call somebody a distraction, Alex Rodriguez, the Alex Rodriguez, the liar and a cheat, the performance-enhancing drug user, the multiple-time phony and liar about it. Yeah, that Alex Rodriguez. He's talking about a distraction in a clubhouse, about a player being a distraction in a clubhouse. What the hell is going on? Do you recall what kind of distraction he had to be? Because I lived through it, okay? I lived through it. Going into that Yankee locker room, going to hear Girardi and his teammates and everybody having to answer questions all the time about Alex Rodriguez. Well, what do you think of Alex? And what do you think of Alex doing this? And what do you think of Alex doing that? And what do you think of Alex's suspension? What do you think of Alex coming back now? And, you know, the play, what are the players going to say? They're all going to say the same shit. Well, he's our teammate, and in here we love him, and we hug him, and, you know, he's a great teammate, and he's a great player, yada, yada, yada. You don't think they ever got fed up with that shit? You don't think that Derek Jeter, the captain, ever got fed up with talking about that shit? How about the time, well, I remember we were in spring training, and A-Rod came out with the thing, you know, he dropped it out there. Whenever he dropped it, I don't know if it was over the winter or prior to camp. Yeah, we used to be friends, but, you know, close friends, but we're not anymore. So everybody was waiting for Derek to come to camp, and what's Derek going to say about it? You don't think that was a distraction? I'm telling you, Alex Rodriguez is a schmuck. This guy just doesn't get it. And you know what? He stepped in shit. Because he gets his job on Fox. He gets his job on ESPN. I heard recently he's going to be on co-hosting or something on the Today Show with Kathy Lee and Hoda or something for a week or a few days. I mean, he's the most narcissistic, insufferable human being I have ever come across. But he can do it because the public and his adoring fans allow him to get away with it. And don't give me this crap. Well, you know, he's redeemed himself. What do you mean he redeemed himself? He lied. He cheated. He lied again and cheated again and lied again. Where did he redeem himself? The guy is just full of shit. I mean, I'm sorry. I have covered a lot of people. A lot of people. You know, I'll end with this guy. Lawrence Taylor, you don't want your daughter coming home with somebody like Lawrence Taylor. You know, has had all his problems. You don't want your son growing up to be like Lawrence Taylor. But I'm going to tell you this about Lawrence Taylor. And this is why, to this day, I still like Lawrence. I will say I'm a friend. I'm not a good friend. I'm not hanging out with him. I covered him for a lot of time. I've dealt with him after his playing days. But this is the, and this is why the media always like Lawrence. Because unlike A-Rod, when you spoke to Lawrence at his locker, or when you spoke to Lawrence wherever, you didn't feel that you had to go take a shower and get yourself fumigated, because Lawrence was not full of shit. Lawrence never, whether you liked it or not, he never portrayed himself to be a role model. He said he wasn't a role model. He never said what was the politically correct thing to say so everybody would like him. He wasn't a bullshit artist. And then you get this guy, A-Rod, who's a total bullshit artist. Now he's talking about other people being distractions. And he just goes on his happy way because he's allowed to do so. Some things I get, some things I don't get. And I don't get the love affair that fans have with Alex Rodriguez. I just do not. If you do, maybe you'll let me know. Anyway, folks, that's a wrap on today. I want to thank you all for getting a load of this and getting a load of me. And now I'd like to get a load of you. So let me know your thoughts. You can let me know on Twitter, at Russ Salzberg, or on Facebook. Let me know. Let me know what you think of my comments on Alex Rodriguez. If you're one of the admirers, let me know why.
And, of course, you can also get a load of me on my website. Real easy. It's RussSalzberg.com. Okay? My thanks, as always, to Crash, my fine producer here, also known as Mike Caragliano, to 77 WABC News Director Craig Schwab, to 77 WABC Assistant News Director Matt Dahl, of course, to the OG Podcast Network for allowing me and allowing all of you to get a load of this. And as always, most of all, I want to thank you, the people, because without you people, I'd have nobody to talk to. So until next week, it is yours truly, Russ Salzberg, saying once again, till next week, bye-bye, so long, and farewell.